Good evening. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. I'm joined by my colleague and co-host this evening, John Fund of the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Fund, a very good evening to you.
Pleasure. Thank you, John.
It is one of those slow news days for the president's holiday. Don't you agree, Mr. Fund?
Never a dull moment on these holiday weekends.
Yes. History does not take the day off. I begin with the headlines, and we will speak much of this later on tonight in Tripoli. Where is Muammar Gaddafi? The rumor that he's gone to Venezuela? False. The rumor that he's gone to Paris? False. The rumor that he's in Tripoli, to my knowledge, is not accurate. Muammar Gaddafi, the 42-year dictator of 1.8 million barrels of light sweet crude per day, because that's what he's the dictator of and that's what he's threatening, has retreated to the deep desert, to an oasis, to ponder his fate and the order that his brother, that his son keeps giving out, that they will cut the pipelines and poison the wells, cutting Europe off from what it must have, the seed stock of the light sweet crude. I'm told that the oil workers have already been evacuated. There's no one in Libya, no one at all, to run those fields without the foreign workers. They're gone. So it is just a matter of time before it is offline. Europe is reacting by spiking Brent crude. West Texas crude trades up. Gold has gone through 1,400. Silver's up. All the metrics are showing panic, and for a very good reason. At the same time, we have more disorder in the United States of America, Madison, Wisconsin. Mr. Fund, is it still true that the unions in Madison are defying the governor and that the Democrats in the Senate are defying the governor? Does that continue?
Yes. Some of the teachers are going to be back in school tomorrow. Some will not be. I think the unions suffered a PR setback, especially when it was revealed that dozens of doctors were handing out fake excuses to some of the teachers who called in sick. The state Senate will convene tomorrow. The state Senate only needs a quorum of a majority of members to consider any bill that's not part of the budget. So they're going to meet tomorrow. There'll be 14 vacant Democratic seats, at least as of now, because they're still out of state in hiding. And if that's the case, I think that will be another PR setback for them, because the legislators were elected to vote. And by not voting, I think that they it will be a bad atmosphere.
At the same time, the president of the United States over this weekend and through his spokespeople has indicated consistent support for those who are defying the governor of Wisconsin and for those who have fled the state, the lawmakers, the representatives of the people. These three examples of disorder, I welcome Thaddeus McCotter of 11th Michigan, who speaks of the difference between order and disorder in a world that is suffering. What I read in his new book are the upheavals of globalization. Thaddeus, I congratulate you. You published Seize Freedom, American Truths and Renewal in a Chaotic Age, and I give you the chaos of Madison, of Tripoli, and of the pending budget fight in Washington with the continuing resolution. Good evening, Congressman, and please help the audience understand how disorder threatens us at home and abroad.
Well, it's a tumultuous time. It's very akin to what happened at the dawn of the 20th century when America was industrializing, the world was industrializing, and great amounts of change occurred. Now, when change occurs, as Russell Kirk taught us, that leaves many people susceptible to the ideologue, the one with the simple answer, the one who promises paradise. What we're seeing throughout the Middle East is, in our time, the communications revolution, which undergirds globalization, allowing people to look at existing structures of governance which have failed them and to try to assert the primacy of the people over them. Now, what we hope for is the outcome of a constructive constitutional republics in those areas with sustainable democratic and economic institutions at the local levels. Unfortunately, that may not be the case, as there are ideologues over there, notably the Islamists, who will try to fill that vacuum much as Khomeini's people did in 1979 at a time of great change that was occurring in Iran. Here at home, what we see is the industrial welfare state, which is still a top-down centralized bureaucratic entity, is not adapted to an age in which businesses and families and everyone else have had to make tough decisions to become more horizontal, more democratic, more consumer-driven, more competitive. And what you're seeing in Wisconsin and what you're seeing in the Democratic Senate is a refusal to admit that the changes in our world have occurred. And they're trying to preserve a model of governance which has been around longer than I've been alive and is no longer, by all economic indicators and all fiscal indicators, it is no longer sustainable in this period of time.
Your book, Seize Freedom, right now, the upheavals of globalization, is this something we can manage, Thaddeus, or is it something we can only survive?
So I think that to a certain extent, this is still possible to have a constructive change, to have a responsible transition towards a citizen-driven government here in the United States. It would be the antithesis of what's been put forward by the administration. What we're seeing everywhere else is an entrepreneurial model, a model where people have been empowered to dreams unimagined in human history. And what the federal government has to do is stop trying to foster dependence upon government, as noted in Obamacare, and instead start realizing that the proper role is to increase self-government, to allow liberty to foster individuals and facilitate their coming up with solutions to their situation so they can conserve their cherished way of life. When we look overseas, I think it is important that we continue to make sure that there's a transition to bring our foreign aid to local communities, to sustainable economic and political institutions at the grassroots level. In many ways, the great irony of what we're talking about, John, is the great argument between RFK and LBJ, and why Robert Kennedy rejected the Great Society's bureaucratization and centralization of decision-making in Washington.
Mr. Fund, right now, Governor Walker is under great personal pressure because of the upset in Madison. Can you talk about how he's responding to this, how the people of Wisconsin are communicating to him?
Well, just remember, Governor Walker has an advantage that few governors do. For the last 8 years, he was the elected county executive of Milwaukee, which is the most Democratic area of the state. He has been through layoffs. He has been through strikes. He has been through union action. He has been through protests. So he knows the handbook. And I think that he is remaining firm. I think that he started out with significant opposition against him, but the union tactics, especially leaving the children at home. Remember, teachers' unions are supposed to be all about the children. Well, by abandoning their children, closing the schools and protesting in front of the state capitol, they proved that they were really all about the adults. And I believe that his position is strengthened. I see no cracking in the Republican ranks of any consequence, and I think we're heading towards a showdown probably this Thursday.
Thaddeus, you represent a district, 11th Michigan, in western side of Detroit, Livonia, that is in the middle of an economic downturn that's lasted for several years and has no easy answer. But what is true is that the state of Michigan has suffered a fall off in business activity, in revenues, and that the people of Michigan and the children of Detroit and the children of Michigan have suffered. Is this a consequence of governors not making tough decisions, or is this a national story? I want to know whether it's bad governance in Michigan or is it national bad governance?
Well, it's bad governance depending on who's giving it. In Michigan, we've been fortunate to elect a governor, Rick Snyder, who understands that we're not simply talking about cutting within the welfare state paradigm. He knows the government has to be reinvented, that it has to match what's been occurring in the economy. Now, when you talk about Wisconsin, I think Michigan provides an example. The distinction between a public sector labor union and a private sector labor union is very simple. In Michigan, we saw where they had to make difficult decisions so that their companies could survive and they could keep their employment. That is not the case of what we're seeing in Wisconsin. And again, John, it's very simple. Private sector unions have to spend what they make, and the public sector unions spend what they take. And so when you see people who've had to make difficult decisions to enter the consumer-driven economy, to be competitive in the age of globalization, witnessing people who are doing everything they can not to have to make those decisions, including leaving their charges in school, getting false doctor's permission slips to do it, right, that does not sit well with them or any taxpayer who has to play by the rules and has to make difficult decisions.
Thaddeus, you point, this is Congressman Thaddeus McCarter, you point to those fraudulent statements of being sick. That strikes me as a bizarre turn. Is this now a breakdown in the civil contract? Are we seeing disorder at the point of falsehood by our practitioners? I mean, you trust medical men. You don't expect them to lie.
Well, the left needs chaos. The left fosters disunity. The left fosters division so that they can then redistribute wealth. They can then, as someone once famously said, never let a crisis go to waste. What real Americans are facing is not only the type of manufactured crisis that the left wants, but the actual tumultuous times in which we live from the changes that are occurring in the workplace, in the community, in the family, through this global communications revolution, through globalization. So what you're seeing now is at a time when Americans want to see responsible, constructive change, they're seeing the President of the United States actually continuing to side with those forces of disorder that are doing things that are not playing by the rules, that are trying to stop the legislative process, in which they played a major role in the last election, although they did not like the outcome. So when you look to the federal government, what you want to see are people who are taking responsible approaches to things, who are following past precedents and principles to try to manage our way through a very difficult time, to try to lead us to where we need to be in the 21st century. Instead, in trying to preserve an outdated model of governance, they are allowing the disorder and divisions to continue and actually abetting them. And I think that that is the worst possible thing we could be doing right now.
Seize Freedom, Thaddeus McCotter's new book, American Truce and Renewal in a Chaotic Age. It is a foreword by Greg Gutfeld of the very popular Red Eye at Fox Television. Right now, Madison, Tripoli, and the pending budget squabble in Washington, three examples of disorder in globalization in the 21st century. John Fund of the Wall Street Journal is here with me. I'm John Batchelor.